Your morning connection on Connect FM for a Friday. Time now for the Tri-County Insider News Week in Review. News Director for Priority Media, Bronson Rasmussen, has joined us. Hey, Bronson, how are you?
Well, we're back here once again. It's starting to become a regular thing doing this on Fridays.
Doing it on Fridays and doing it every single week. So, we are getting into our groove, I guess. This is our final report for July, saying goodbye to July. And what we do on the Week in Review is take a look back over the prior week from last Friday until this Friday. Mm-hmm. And Bronson lets us know what were the top local news stories. What were the top local news stories?
Our top story, which I'm surprised that it actually became the top story, but I'm happy it's there, is a new business that's opening up in Dubois. It's called Ronnie's Sandbox. Ah. It's located at 323 Midway Drive, just right across the street from where that plaza is, as well as where Priority First Federal Credit Union is.
Okay.
It's a small little space that has a giant sandbox in there meant for kids to go and play in as parents have coffee, drinks, whatever, while they can relax as their kid goes and plays in the sandbox.
Yeah, that was a great idea for them to start that up, and we wish them well in the days ahead as things get moving.
Yeah, official opening day for them will be August 15th, and then as they see what sort of reception they have, they'll have more regular hours after that.
All right, that's coming up in just 2 weeks. All right, the other top story of the past week.
Our next top story is a police story, and it has to deal with some sentencing. A Clearfield woman was sentenced to spend 38 months in prison after pleading guilty to having methamphetamines. We previously reported that 47-year-old Amy Cruz, she was jailed after texting her parole officer that she had drugs.
Oh, yes.
It sounds like it was by accident, but nothing ever stated that. But an investigation after that revealed that she had pills, methamphetamines, drug packaging materials, $600 in cash, and a container of toxin-free urine. So she pled guilty to felony possession with intent to deliver and other drug charges and was sentenced to spend between 19 and 38 months in state prison.
Okay, so I'm sure, even though the police blotter stories normally are fairly popular, that one probably garnered more attention because of the added little detail there that she kind of confessed herself. Yeah.
I assume that it was an accident, just the way that it was all structured, but
you never know.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get the third top story over the past week.
The third one is another police blotter, and it was a warrant arrest that led to drug charges. So we learned on July 15th that 36-year-old Thomas Ellinger was at Sheets at the intersection of State Routes 322 and 119 in Dubois, where police saw him and knew he had an active warrant, so they initiated a traffic stop. Once they confirmed his identity, police searched his person, where they found multiple drugs, and at that point, he was transported to the Clearfield County Jail for the warrant, and then that drug investigation is still continuing right now.
Okay, and that one made the top rankings just in a day, because I believe that was a part of the report yesterday.
Yes.
All right, Bronson, the next category that we head into are the most interacted with stories of the past week in Tri-County Insider News. They get the most attention either through likes or comments or otherwise on our social media sites and also on the Connect FM radio website as well.
Yes.
So what was the most interacted with story of the past week?
The most interacted with story, another surprising one for me to see so many people interact with it, and it's some lucky person down around Sykesville area that won a $1.37 million lottery ticket that was sold in Sykesville.
Mm-hmm.
Pennsylvania Lottery says that the Match 6 lotto was won out of the one stop in Sykesville. So with that, I guess a lot of people are commenting, hey, was it you? Was it you? Maybe it was me.
It probably kind of got into the circle of people that do business at the One Stop and maybe are frequent lottery ticket purchasers there. So And trying to find out who the big winner is going to be.
And of course, lottery didn't announce that. The person may not have claimed it at this point, or they don't have to announce it at this time.
Right, right.
However, usually when a ticket of that caliber is won, the person's name usually gets released at some point.
At some point, yeah. And I'm sure that that person, whoever it is, or a group of people, sometimes it works out to be that, are getting their house in order, so to speak, in preparation of that announcement.
Yeah.
All right. What came in second place in the most interacted with stories?
And that one also came out yesterday and got quite a bit of attention. And it's with State Representative Mike Armanini. He is warning that the powder metal industry could be in trouble. He says that due to 50% federal tariff on imported copper powder and a local fire that affected the nation's domestic producer, that's causing a current supply shortage. Mm. So with that, he's asking lawmakers to temporarily lift this tariff to help our local manufacturers here and across the state, and also to save jobs that might have to come at cutting costs.
All right. And that got a lot of attention. Of course, the powdered metal industry, very big in this region. So makes sense that it would get a lot of attention. And we have time for another one, a story that was interacted with a lot over the past week. What do we have there?
This one's kind of a two-parter. I'm surprised neither of these were actually higher in the list. And it came out Friday that the city of Dubois responded to former city of Dubois manager John Herm Saplesio's guilty plea in the embezzlement case. Basically, current manager Joe Fleming says while he wasn't here at that time and he's pretty new to the city of Dubois, it would be really inappropriate for anyone to comment on this active case. Mm-hmm. But he does say that the city recognizes how serious this is and acknowledges everyone's concerns as more and more comes out of people wanting to demand restitution.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And with that, he says that the city's focus should remain on serving the residents, maintaining stable operations, and moving the community forward.
All right.
And the reason I put this as a two-parter is because there was a second thing that happened in that case this past week that also got some interaction, but not as much as I was expecting for it. And that was a sentencing for Saplesio being delayed. We originally thought it was going to be on November 23rd. However, in court documents that came out this past week, the defense team said that the primary counsel for Saplesio, Michael Comer, had a prepaid vacation scheduled from the 23rd through the 30th of November.
Yeah.
So at that point, U.S. District Judge Stephanie Haynes granted an extension to December 10th at 2 p.m. in Johnstown for the sentencing.
And maybe the lack of interaction, or at least not as much interaction as you expected, is due to the fact that there's kind of a history with delays
in this case.
So maybe everyone was kind of resigned to the fact, of course, it's delayed, right?
That is possible.
It's possible. Well, Bronson, you write most of the stories, if not all of the stories each week in Tri-County Insider News. And so, that's usually in the 30 to 40 stories each week. So we, wrap things up on this week in review by allowing you the opportunity to say, hey, this one was my favorite from the past week for whatever reason. And, you've got one for us this week, don't you?
I do. This one is a very important subject that's been happening a lot lately, and that's with e-bikes, the electronic bikes, electronic scooters even, and really how dangerous those can be. We heard from officials from state police, local police, PennDOT, Highway Safety Network. They all tell us the same thing, that these really need to be regulated more than what they currently are. Mm-hmm. However, they're really, since they're so new, there's not much out there for them.
Yeah.
So currently, the main thing is to watch your speed, use safe habits when riding those, such as using the sidewalks, following traffic laws. That's another thing that they've noticed a lot with these. People will ignore those. And really, just to wear a safe riding helmet as well, as there are a lot of cases, especially here in Dubois, is we have a trauma center of people going there from accidents from these e-bikes or any of those.
It's one of those situations where technology has advanced quicker than the laws and regulations have. And so you have to kind of back up and figure out, okay, what are the proper restrictions on this? So.
And those things are surprisingly fast if you've never been on one. It could go up to like 40 miles an hour.
Yeah, Pat Shea, our host of Contact here on Connect FM, was talking about the fact that he got onto a e-bike and he was surprised about how fast that thing can go. So yeah, very interesting. Good choice. Thank you for sharing that, Bronson. And that is Tri-County Insider News, the week in review. And we'll do this again in August. What do you say?
Next month, July's already over. Hard to believe it.